Welcome to the Taming Tribulation Podcast. I am your host, Wyatt Hammond.
And I'm the co-host, Jeremy Crossley.
In this season, we are using biblical stories about trials and tribulations that characters have gone through, how they confronted them and overcame their own personal obstacles, so they can become the people that God uses for his purpose. Not perfect people, but imperfect people being used to do his will.
Our intention with these stories is to pass on to the listener the understanding that God uses the hardest and most difficult moments in our lives to refine us into the people we were meant to be.
By listening to these stories, we hope that you can be encouraged to see where God can use your tribulations for his purpose. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Taming Tribulation. Happy to have you with us in this episode again. We are continuing on in this episode with the story of Joseph and moving on to Genesis 41. Where we are on the story is Joseph is still in prison. The cupbearer and the baker just recently had their dreams, and Joseph interpreted them and now asked them in repayment for this, when you get out of here, remember my name. Remember that I did this for you if it ever comes up. Turns out that'll be a pretty good thing to ask, but he won't quite know it yet. So we're starting in Genesis 41, verse 1, with Pharaoh's dreams. When 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile, when out of the river there came up 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other ugly cows came up out of the Nile and stood beside those on the riverbank. And the cows that were ugly ate up the 7 sleek, fat cows. Then Pharaoh woke up. He fell asleep again and had a second dream. 7 heads of grain, healthy and good, were growing on a single stalk. After them, 7 other heads of grain sprouted, thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the 7 healthy, full heads. Then Pharaoh woke up. It had been a dream. So we're just going to stop at this point at the end of verse 7 and just address how strange those dreams are. And, you know, are these dreams really about cows and heads of grain? Obviously, in the Bible, there's rarely dreams mentioned for no reason. So we can guess that this dream obviously has more symbolism than just a random dream Pharaoh is having. That's why we're being told about it.
The beginning of this, right? It's 2 years later, which is really important to just assess
right.
Pharaoh's dream. He doesn't have just one dream, wakes up, panics, goes back to sleep.
You're right, Jeremy. It is important to notice, like, it's always easy to skip over things like that in the Bible, where it's like they go through so many years in verses at a time or chapters at a time, and it's like 6 words when 2 full years had passed. So to us, that's just like the beginning of a sentence, but to him, to Joseph, he's sitting in prison, interprets these two guys' dreams. They get out. He doesn't know what happened after that. Two years is a lot of time to most people, and especially in prison, innocently. And things are happening 2 years later that he has no idea are going to affect his life. All right, so let's carry on with Genesis, starting in Genesis 8. In the morning, his mind was troubled, so he sent for the magicians and the wise men of Egypt. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them for him. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "Today I am reminded of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servants, and he imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Each of us had a dream that same night. No, each of us had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Now a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream. And the things turned out exactly as he interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position, and the other man was impaled. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." "I cannot do it," Joseph replied to Pharaoh, "but God will give Pharaoh the answers he desires." Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "In my dream, I was standing on the bank of the Nile, when out of the river there came up 7 cows, fat and sleek, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows came up, scrawny and very ugly and lean, and I had never seen such ugly cows in all the land of Egypt. The lean, ugly cows ate up the 7 fat cows that came up first, but even after they ate them up, no one could tell that they had done so. They looked just as ugly as before. Then I woke up. In my dream, I saw 7 heads of grain, full and good, growing on a single stalk. After them, seven other heads sprouted, withered, and thin and scorched by the east wind, and thin heads of grain swallowed up the seven good heads. I told this to the magicians, but none of them could explain it to me. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads of grain are 7 years. It is one and the same dream. The seven lean, ugly cows that came up afterward are 7 years, and so are the worthless heads of grain scorched by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine. It is just as I said to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered, because the famine that follows it will be severe. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and he will do it soon. And now let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take 1/5 of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all the food of these good years that are coming and store them up under the authority of Pharaoh to be kept in the cities for food. This food should be held in reserve for the country to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt, so that the country may not be ruined by the famine. The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his officials. So Pharaoh asked them, "Can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all the people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." So obviously in this story, this is a pretty massive turning point. Joseph's been in prison for 2 years, having no idea how he's getting out of there. Am I going to be in here for the rest of my life? I'm an innocent man. The captain of the guard thinks I tried to sleep with his wife. I mean, what's going to be the end of me? What a sense of dread by being sold into slavery by your brothers. And then you're falsely accused of sexual assault. And now you're in a prison cell. Could not be a much darker situation. Then one day you're ripped out of there, cleaned up, shaven, thrown in front of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh starts telling you a story about how he has these dreams. My first thought would be like, is this, you know, this whole thing seems like a dream, right? I mean, it probably seemed that way when you got thrown into prison too, and now it's just another shock to the system. So what would be going through your head at this point, Jeremy?
I would probably just be really confused, because the last thing with the story we get is that he interprets another guy's dreams, and I'd be confused. I'd be like, why am I, if I'm going to get killed, why am I getting dressed and showered and shaved?
Right. So, like, to us, it makes sense that it's like a straight series of events where the previous chapter he interprets two guys' dreams, and then the next chapter the Pharaoh has a dream. To us, it's like, oh yeah, that's how a story is told. But to him, he's not reading it like we're. He's in the middle of living it. So,
what am I doing here? Why am I, you know, fresh? Just, you know, kill my nasty, disgusting, smelly body and get it over with. You know.
Yeah. So you just be confused at that point, and then. So the obviously noticeable part in Joseph's character and his faith here is that even in that confused state where you'd just be thinking, I must, like, I can't imagine why I'm here. And Pharaoh says, I had a dream. I want you to interpret. I've heard that you can interpret dreams. And he just starts telling you this. And now you're like, okay, well, it's not me that I can interpret dreams, but it's God. Even just to be in that state of mind where you're like, correct Pharaoh, right? Like that's actually what he did. Is like, let me just correct something you said. It's actually not me, but you know.
And it's bravery, because Pharaoh back in the day would tell the people that he is God. So like, he's like the chosen bloodline of God to be the leader of Egypt. Right. So like, by Joseph publicly saying, this is from God, my God, you know, I think that is courage, bravery, and very bold of him.
Yeah. And then even in that part of the story that Joseph has to now tell Pharaoh, you're going to have 7 years of famine and 7 years of abundance. And it's actually not really up to you, even though you think you're in control of everything. He's implying you can do whatever you want to. There's going to be 7 years of abundance and 7 years of famine. And this comes as a warning. So there's a lot of chance for Farrow to take offense. Yeah, actually. So even if you read back at 28, like he doesn't soften it at all. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt. I'm sure Pharaoh's ears popped up at that point, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered because the famine that follows it will be so severe. That seems like it's not a threat towards that. Like he's not threatening him. He's just telling him what the dream means. But it is, that would be a hard thing to say. I might have a trembling voice having to tell Pharaoh the reality of what's to come. Right. Even with the abundance part. So do you think you'd have a hard time telling him that truth?
Yeah, but I think it goes back to his personality of being courageous, being strong and courageous, right? Like, yeah. What's more important, to tell him the truth or not tell him the truth and do the opposite right. effect, you know? Yeah. I think it's another case of Joseph knowing who's more powerful, Pharaoh or God, and Joseph also knowing this is the gift that God has given me. Who am I to not use it in a time where it needs to be used? Because I mean, Joseph's interpreting it right there, and he knows it's going to be a famine. So why not get on the side of Pharaoh, essentially, and like help him, tell him, like, hey, like this is what's actually happening. You better prepare.
Okay, so let's continue on, starting in verse 41. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him riding a chariot as his second in command, and people shouted before him, "Make way." Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift your hand or foot in all Egypt." Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zaphnath-Paneah and gave him Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, to be his wife. And Joseph went throughout the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout Egypt. During the 7 years of abundance, the land produced plentifully. Joseph collected all the food he produced in those 7 years of abundance in Egypt and stored it in the cities. In each city, he put the food grown in the fields surrounding it. Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain, like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. Before the years of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph by Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. Joseph named his first son Manasseh and said, "It is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household." The second son he named Ephraim and said, "It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering." The 7 years of abundance in Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph had said. There was famine in all the other lands, but in the whole land of Egypt there was food. When all Egypt began to feel the famine, the people cried to Pharaoh for food. Then Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph and do what he tells you." When the famine had spread over the whole country, Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe throughout Egypt. And the whole world came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph, because the famine was severe everywhere. So the first part I want to recognize here is in verse 46, it says Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, and we know he was 17 when he was sold into slavery. So that's 13 years that from the time he had been sold, brought to the captain of the guard's house, put into the captain of the guard's house, falsely accused of rape, put into prison, and now he's only 30 years old. Like 30s today's world, pretty young. Maybe back then it was a bit older, but so like that's a long time to be clearly the victim of circumstance, mm-hmm. and victimized by your family and your boss. Terrible things, and now it's finally all those years of faithfulness and trusting in God and knowing that when he got the few times that he got the opportunity to use the gift that God gave him, he used it properly, and that's how he's ended up where he has. So
yeah, what I think is interesting too is like you brought up, he's 30 years old now, and about half his life he's essentially been he's been a slave. Let's just say it like that. He's been a slave, and either a slave to a human or a slave to the jail, either one. And then, like you said, he recognized his gifts, He used his gifts to glorify God, and now God is helping him out, to say the least. And what I think is interesting too about this is he's going from town to town. He's not taking everyone else's grain and storing it in the main hub of Egypt. He's going town to town and storing in their own certain storage supplies, you know? So he is trying to help every single part of Egypt. But I also think it's interesting too, it talks about how he sold what he gained in the last 7 years. He didn't give it away. He sold it to the people. Which I can imagine Pharaoh being pretty happy about that, because he's getting pretty rich off that. So I think that was an interesting point too.
Yeah, well, it's true. Who knows what the unintended outcomes are of telling a whole bunch of people, here's free food. It doesn't say there was a money famine. It says there was a food famine.
Exactly.
So we're at a pretty exciting point in the story now, where it seems like a lot of the taming tribulation, the first part is come and gone, where now he's at the point in the story where he's gone through the hardening process. And these are the kind of things that this is the whole point of the podcast, is that we're looking at these stories to say, okay, I don't want to go through 13 years of being abandoned by my family and sold into slavery and put into prison and go through all these things to have to get to the point where I can understand what you want to be used for by God.
No, I think just going back to what we said last podcast is like assessing who we are as people and understanding, like, yeah, he was left in prison for an additional 2 years, right? I'm imagining him probably sitting there saying, I'm never getting out of here. and we don't know exactly what he did in the 2 years, but we know he didn't give up, you know, we know he didn't give up hope. We know he still, was favored by the warden of the jail. And I'm sure he probably said a lot of nasty things to himself, some probably uncomfortable things, but you know, he continued on, right? I don't think he would be sulking in this situation. And then when another opportunity came to where he could use his gifts, he did it. And
even if he was sulking in that situation, I probably would be in two years in prison. Like he might not have been a 2 year montage of gratitude for, you know, and love and joy. Like I'm sure there were a lot of days where you'd look at Joseph, if you could be a fly on the wall of Joseph's prison cell, you'd be like, this is the guy that God's going to use to do all these things. Like, what the heck? I mean, how is this story going to turn out? So I'm sure, you know, I'm sure there were lots of days where he was sulking in prison, but that's the point, is like that you can have those times and man up when the time comes for.
Yeah. And that's the point, is not being stuck in those moments and where you sulk or you feel bad or you feel self pity. Can grow up. You can assess, it could always be worse. You can have the mentality of, I'm going to not just stay here, I'm going to do something more. And that's what he does. And look what he's rewarded with. He's not only rewarded with getting out of jail, but he's became Pharaoh's number two, to essentially save thousands and thousands of lives. Plus addition of other things he doesn't even see yet. He doesn't even come close. So he's wealthy. He's young-ish, you know, depending on
30. Yeah.
Yeah. Our standard, he's young.
Yeah.
And he is no longer, I mean, he's still a slave, but if you're going to be a slave, you might as well be the second in charge of all of Egypt.
Yeah. I wouldn't consider myself a slave at that point. Right. If I was the number two, like, yeah, you might not be able to go home. Mm-hmm. But your brother sold you, so you don't really have a home.
Yeah.
It's like, really, unless he's leaving Egypt, this is the best case scenario.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, like, yeah, you can't be fair to yourself, but you can have him as your best friend and mm-hmm. have him trust you with everything he has. Like that's a pretty good place to be. So things are finally looking up for Joseph.
Yeah. Stay the course. Right.
Great. So we'll end this episode off here. Next episode, we'll continue on with Genesis 42. We hope you're enjoying this season, everybody. See you next week.